Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum. Kate picks you up on the chair.
How about now?
Wow, I'm sorry about that, you know, but hope that you can hear me. Is everything going now? Anyway, damn. Well, the problem is, like, what should you say, technical difficulties. Dang, I was just running at the jibs for I don't know how long. And, but anyway, did you hear me at all the whole night? I don't even know. Somebody should have told me. You know, I don't know unless somebody tells me. But where was I at? Oh, I didn't hear your snoring, Roger. You know, but yeah, it's kind of annoying to know that we have this problems sometimes, and all of a sudden, boom, it's there again. You know, like I said, we have so many enemies. We have enemies all over. We have Indian enemies. Then we have Washita enemies. Then we have government enemies. You know? And I never know what happens because it's like always something. And I don't know if you heard anything I said. So give me a clue. How much did you hear of what I talked about? Was it empty all night? Come on, let me know. You didn't hear nothing all night. I mean, oh, okay, wow, unbelievable. Well, I guess I'll start back over. Let's see, where did I start at? First, I was talking about love. Well, thank you for hanging in there, even though it's nothing. But, you know, you guys should say something. If it's quiet, if you can't hear me, you know, say it. I don't know. I'm just sitting here with headphones talking. You know, I can hear myself. That sounds good. You know, but you out there need to let me know, hey, man, we can't hear you. You know, so I can do something. You can't just sit out there and say, oh, I don't, you know, kind of quiet tonight. Somebody said that, kind of quiet tonight. I guess so it's quiet I didn't see that, Lisa. Let me see. I'm going to go back and how do they do it with Trump? Yep. We said there was no audio. Wow. If you know, when you in the chat, it just goes up. But it probably just went up, and then you guys were visiting. You were ignoring me, you know. Got me all now easy. You know, I thought you liked Roger more than me, you know. I said, damn, man, Roger should get on this damn show if he got that much support out there. But, all right, I'm sorry. Everything's going good, right? And I was talking about Jesus. Um, CNN's been doing a big survey on Jesus. And they're spending all this money. The Washitu lives their life with this guy, a myth named Jesus Christ. How do we know he's real? You know, my people didn't hear about him since the last 500 years. You know, so before 500 years, we was doing pretty damn fine. You know, before 500 years, we didn't see genocide and all the stuff that came with this guy, Jesus Christ. And then what's cool about it is his own people supposedly hung him or slapped him on a cross and murdered him. So what if he died on an electric chair? We gonna be hanging an electric chair around our neck? Huh? You know, that's the kind of people they are. You know? Hang an electric chair around our neck or get a firing squad, something, and hang it around your neck. Awesome. You know, or a guillotine, hang a guillotine around your neck. You know, yeah, what if he died on the toilet like Elvis? You know, you're right. Should be hanging, the Christians be walking around with a toilet around their neck. You know? But they're over there trying to spread his, you know, trying to learn where he came from in Israel. And they're over there, the sites. They're trying to prove Pontius Pilate actually existed. You know? In other words, they still don't really know if all that stuff really happened. So they're out there going through the dirt, digging through the pan, archaeologists, anthropologists, historians, millions of dollars to dig through the dirt up there and all them ruins looking for evidence, you know? You know, the thing about it is, Jesus Christ is the most promoted spiritual leader there ever was. But it don't make him the best. It don't make him special. We have spiritual leaders that lived in the last 50 years that's doing miracles and doing things and keeping us together. We've had spiritual leaders since the beginning of time. You know, how did we learn where to get Chinchasha from? You know, Chinchasha grows under the red willow. You just scrape off the red on the, and then right underneath it is a thin layer of medicine. We use that for our chanupas to smoke, because we don't use tobacco and it's pure. How did our people know that little thin line was what we're supposed to smoke? How did they know that? Where to get it from? You see, there's so many things our people do today that's a mystery, that's sacred. That's a miracle. So like I was saying, the American Indian Movement was founded on a drum. I listened to Dennis Banks talk about how it began, how it started. him and Ted Means on a drum. And as he was talking, I was looking at the other guys around him. Russell Means. Clyde was there. Carter Camp was there. All these AIM leaders were standing around when Dennis was talking about this, telling how they went to Minneapolis and how it all formed and everything up there. But they had that same drum they took to Minneapolis, Ted Means and them. You know, so there's a lot that people don't realize. So I tell people, especially if you're in the American Indian movement, learn that drum. Learn some songs. Learn your own way. And you probably missed me talking about an Apache at Sundance. He came and flopped down on the dirt next to me when we came in from out dancing and got back under the shade in the break. And man, he was really hurting, you know. His lips were gray, chapped gray in his lander, and he looked bad too, you know. And I checked him out, and I said, man, what the hell are you doing here with this dog eating Lakota, you know? And I asked him. And he told me. You know, he explained how he got a job in Tucson at a juvenile detention center. And whenever he'd talk with the, or try to talk to the Indian kids, they would ignore him like he's just a rat or something, you know, because he's working for the man. You know, he's the Indian, but he's there working for the man, running around in there. And they didn't like him, you know. They didn't like him because here's the Indian running around acting like a cop and, you know, hanging out with the Washichu and all that. And there he said he wanted to help them to learn spirituality. But they didn't. They didn't, you know, he didn't know how to teach them spirituality because actually he had none himself. Except, of course, Jesus Christ and the Bible. But for some reason, Wakantanka took him to the Lakota. He met a Lakota and ended up in South Dakota to the res and ran across Old Wombly, you know, at the Sundance. And after that year, he went back to his job and he said, suddenly, those kids started looking at him in a different way. He said, the feeling of the Sundance must have reflected off of him because these kids started looking at him. So he started talking to them. And from being there at the Sundance, he kind of learned a song, you know. You can't help it. You're going to learn a song if you go to Sundance because you're hearing these songs every day for 4 days and you can't eat, you can't drink. You know, all you can do is dance and listen to these songs. And you're dancing out there for hours, you know, and you're hearing these songs. So you're absorbing these songs. And I always tell people, if you want to learn Lakota, learn these songs. Oh, you'll learn Lakota real quick, you know, because they have all of the major words in them, you know. Tokashi La, you know, Umakiyo, you know, help me. Makaki Shelo, having a hard time, you know. Otehika, you know, it's tough, you know. We chose on thee. All these words, you hear them, you know. You hear them, Waka, you know. You hear these songs, you know. These words, you can't help it. You start learning them, you know. So it's beautiful. And that's what I was saying. The American Indian Movement, they took off with this drum and song. Of course, a lot of them are spiritual, but they also had other ones, the AIM song. You know, the AIM song developed when they were burying Raymond Yellow Thunder. This guy started singing the AIM song while they buried him. And the American Indian Movement said, that's going to be our song. So that's their song. It's the most listened to song in the world. I mean, if someone had copyrighted it, someone would be a millionaire. Billionaire. That song is sung all over the world. I mean, I've been all over the world and I heard people singing that song. Trip me out, you know. Italians, French, Russians, everybody sings that song. And our kids sing it in school, you know. My baby boy sings it, you know. Everybody sings it, the AIM song. And that's a good song to learn. No words to it, so you guys should be able to learn that one. Get your drum and sing that song and feel it, you know. Feel the blessings of it. So the American Indian Movement was a blessing from the very beginning. And it still is. I'm not talking about, like I said, I'm not talking about that group, these guys, those guys, them bros. I'm talking about the American Indian Movement. The American Indian Movement. How it's came today. And there's so many members. We have sanctioned chapters. The sanctioned chapters are sanctioned by GGC. Those are the ones we acknowledge. But also the people for the last 45, 48 years since it started. Thousands of AIMsters all over. You know, thousands of them. And I really have to give them honors. You know? When I first went to Standing Rock, I seen the AIM flag. These trucks and people carrying it. I said, damn, who's that guy? I don't even know that guy. Not that I think I know everybody. But, you know, you see these guys say, hey, how come that guy's flying an AIM flag? How come he's got an AIM shirt on? He ain't supposed to have an AIM shirt on. You know, that's baloney. You know? They even got people sabotaging Leonard Peltier protests because they don't like one person in it. Even bad-mouthing the radio show because they're not satisfied. Our one person ain't satisfied. So got to ruin it for everybody and knock on doors and make everybody tell everybody, hey, don't listen. You know what? Last week I promoted this radio show and they wouldn't even promo it. Yeah, AIMCTX wouldn't even promo it. I don't understand that. Just because somebody's got control and is mad. you know, because there's, you know, I don't understand that, you know. Like I said, go join the BIA, because that's what you're acting like. You know, the BIA cops are up there busting Indians and locking them up. The BIA, they attack Indians. The goons, they were attacking Indians. We were under attack. And right now, we're under attack by little poot butts. We're under attack. They can't go about their life and look at the enemy outside the fence on the other side. They rather cruise around inside and act like there's somebody inside this fence. But really, it's only Facebook. The American Indian Movement is beyond Facebook. Some of our leaders will jam you up. You start acting like a Facebook warrior. So we got to learn. This radio show is important to people who listen to it, to people who hear about it. It's even important to the enemies, because a lot of enemies call in and try to sabotage it. It's probably the same guys, you know. I know one guy called in one time, had a hillbilly voice. You know, and here it was someone we know. He just changed his voice, you know. That's how it is. You know, people need to grow up and get with it. Just because you don't have no tribe, or just because you don't have no connection to a tribe, you don't have to hate people that do have connections, you know. It don't mean nothing. We're all Indian. Doesn't matter about tribes or what. But for some reason, you guys go get nuts and start attacking Indians. And then turn around and say, well, they started it. How? Most people don't start nothing. They're minding their own business, and here comes somebody. You know? And then try to talk baloney. Well, you know what? Wanawahielo. I am here right now, and I am telling you, we are for the people. We are not for ourselves. Just because I'm mad at Joe Blow or you're mad at Joe Blow. We're here for the people. Understand that. Don't eat those words. You eat them every day. We are here for the people. Instead of running around attacking people, why don't you get with it? Prove yourself. Actions speak louder than words. And you know what? All of this stuff is going to end. But you know what? Like I said, wanawahielo. I am here. Our people are here. And we were here on the same earth. Ochimaka. We need to be on the same page, you know? What I'm on is right now feeling bad about what happened in Santa Rock. But at the other time, I see Juan Macias and them over there setting up camps and doing things over there. And even that got condemned by so-called people that want to be leader. Condemning them for standing up to the oil bullies. You know, we got to stand up to the enemy. If you want to come stand up to me, fine, good. I don't care. You know, let's get it on, bro. But you know what? The enemy's out there. Those people that was watering, hosing down our people in the cold, shooting, even shot a non-Indian girl's arm, almost blew it off. Probably did blow it off. Haven't seen the results since then. And they're still trying to take our land from us. They're still approving the oil. They're still doing this and that. They're still out there. You know, those are the people. Don't come around here accusing us of this and that. And then make sure you clean your backyard. You know? It's really a bad deal. How things pop up. But you know what? Let me tell you this. I said this in the beginning. Life is good. Let's keep it good. For those of you that's trying to ruin it, you just stay over there. You know? Life is good. As long as we're living, as long as your child is eating, as long as your grandchildren are growing, or your great-grandchildren, if you're like me, you know, be happy. Because when you get up to my age, or when you get up to Tino's age, you know, there's not much more ahead of you. I said this about some guy a while back. I said, you know, happy birthday, you know, everybody's wishing happy birthday. I said, you're getting closer to the end, you know. Every birthday we're getting closer to the end. We start up, we're getting further away from the beginning. Now we're getting closer to the end, you know. But, you know, the good thing about getting old is if you can look back and say, damn, man, you know, here I am, I'm still kicking it. You know, I'm still loving it. And I'm still doing things to satisfy myself. You know? And, you know, your kids are doing good. You know, life is going on around you, and it's time to kick back, you know. So I ain't going to be out there on Facebook talking tough. If I put something out there, I'm trying to, it's just for some education, not to attack, you know. And I hate to sound like I'm always attacking Washichu, but I always gotta explain something about them, you know what I mean? And it's really something, you know. But our people still doing stuff, you know, like they're having a march in D.C. on Friday the 10th, you know. Don't know how that's gonna. I want to see, I think that, well, there's going to be a lot of AIM dudes up there, so if you go up there, you're going to see some of the bros and some of the relatives and things there. They're heading up there. I know a few people heading up there. Also, coming up in the summer again, you know, we have, the Grand Governing Council, Saturday and Sunday, June 24th and 25th in Minneapolis at the AIM Interpretive Center on 113 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis. And you chapters can send a rep and support groups. You got to be represented by someone from the chapter or the chapter you're in. But more news to that, but it's, you know, in-house stuff. The main thing is, you know, just so you guys know about the meeting, since kind of need everybody to go up there so you can meet each other, know who you are. And other things that's always popping up, like I said, you know, Juan and them are setting up camp down there by Big Ben. I don't know exactly where it's at. You know, shame on me for not knowing it. But wish somebody would come in and check it out and, you know, give us an update. A lot of times, you know, that's what this radio show is about. You guys can call in and give us updates, you know. Anything, if it's Native American, you know. If it's Native American, just call in. You know, let us know what's happening. Or even if it's non-Native American, maybe the Wasatch is getting ready to attack, let us know. You know? But that's what the radio show is about right now. And I hope that you guys tune in to it. And I thank everybody that tunes in, you know, that has their own heart. I tell you, you know, don't let people tell you stuff. Don't let people tell you, hey, that guy's not, I don't like that guy, so you better not talk to him. You do your own thing. You know, be a man. Be a woman. You know, have some heart. You know, I don't care who your friends are. I only care who you are. You know, I mean, most people, you know, a lot of times I met people in person, you know, I don't know their friends, but from what I know about them, they're good people. I see on the chat here, Roger, Tino, Lisa, Donna, and different ones, and see Kenny Trout here. You know, I don't know your friends, but I feel like you're good people. You know? So if you have I don't care if Trump's your best friend, I don't care. You know? I don't care if Trump's your friend, you're still my friend. I don't care who your friend is. Because I know all of you and people with heart can be trusted. But people you can't trust, people that run around and try to sabotage what you do and bully people and get out there and bark around and throw smut on people and make people feel ashamed or guilty for what they do. I have no use for them. And many people don't. Most people that have good human morals will agree. They won't even talk to some Rudy Poot. You know? So I thank you all for tuning in and listening, and all the people around the world. Like, there's people out there listening from different countries. And I know them. They're, you know, they don't know what's going on in Facebook. You know, so they don't know who's who in the bully world. You know, and so nobody can get to them and change their opinion about the radio show or about who's doing the radio show or who's the guest on the radio show. They just tune in because sometimes we talk about things that they're interested in. You know, a lot of them wonder what our feeling of Trump is. Of course we don't like Trump. But I'm not fearing him. He ain't no different than any other leader from the last 500 years since George Washington. He ain't no different. Every one of them, when they stepped out the door, one step was to step on us and twist their foot on the way off. I mean, a lot of you always talk about how John F. Kennedy was. You know, people had sympathy for him. He was assassinated in office. They talk about how good Lincoln was. But Lincoln, you know, murdered, hung, signed off to hang some Dakota. For what? For fighting to eat. For you know, there's a story behind it. I ain't got time for it, but, you know, they died because they were getting denied food. And John Kennedy, 1963, before he is assassinated, he's the one who okayed that dam and everything that's going up there in Standing Rock. He's the one sent it up there to dam up that Missouri River and make that dam and everything. Yeah, in his mind, he had good intent. But yet, he didn't realize that when you give an order to clear something out, you're telling the people there to throw everybody out that's on it. He didn't know what people were getting treated, how they're burning Indians' homes up so they don't come back, because they throw Indians out and they just come back. So to stop them from coming back, they burn their homes because they wanted to clear that whole riverside for that dam. And that's how the Washichu is. In 1973, they did the same thing in an island called Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. They cleared out a whole island. They told them to leave. And they didn't go. So the next morning, the people in the island woke up and all their dogs and pets were killed, dead, murdered. They told them to leave again. So they brought ships and they left. While the Queen of England and them were the ones who started that, they booted them. They booted the U.S. wanted to build a military base there. So they booted them out there because the Queen of England said, yeah, that's our land there. Those people that live there, they're not the original inhabitants. They just strolled over there 500 years, last 500 years. That's what they said. That was their excuse. Since they weren't there from the beginning, it's our right to take that. And now they have one of the biggest military bases, United States military bases, on Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. In 1973, the same time, when those senators were sitting in the teepee with the American Indian movement, telling the American Indian movement, it ain't our fault that what happened in the past. You can't blame us for what happened in the past. As they're saying, what happened in the past, they're over there, Diego Garcia, doing the same thing to those people. You know, that's what they do. They're never going to stop. So, of course, how do I feel about Trump? He's just another name, another face. He's not even such a big conversation piece for me. Because he ain't no different than Obama. Obama burned us good. Well, he didn't burn me because I know better. I knew he was acting like a peckerwood from the get-go. And you see what the cowardly move he did with Leonard? He waited till the last minute and said he wasn't letting Leonard go and then walked out the door. He could have said it a couple years, 3 years before that. You see how he skated out on the pipeline deal on the sand and rock. So don't come and tell me that Trump's any different than them. Those are worse than Trump. Because they already did their deed. George Bush, Bill Clinton, they did their deed already. They're worse. But you can bet Trump's going to do his deed too. So he ain't no different. And as far as all these immigration problems, all the people worried about it, I said this before a couple weeks ago, 100,000 of them worried about it. Well, if you're worried about it, come back. Come with us. We'll tell you how to fight it. Stand with us. You're our relatives. This land is your land. It doesn't matter about no fence or what they build. It's your land. We're not prisoners. They say we're supposed to be free. Democratic society says we're supposed to be free. So how are we free when they're building walls and telling your relatives they can't come here and can't come there? Of course there's criminals. I seen where two guys from El Salvador or something murdered some Mexican girl. That's some wicked stuff. But then I turn the page and there's some American woman who cooked her own child. There's some American man waterboarding his wife. There's some American man held some American woman hostage inside a shed tied up. And there's bodies buried under his ground. There's American police murdering people for no reason. So what you gonna do? But I'm talking about the decent living, honorable relatives we have. 100,000. 100 million, maybe. Get with us. Join us. This land is your land. Why are you going to stand over there and deny your own culture and heritage and get kicked around like a dog and sent back across the border because you're too stupid to admit that you're indigenous? If you're indigenous, there's no borderline. This country belongs to us. They ain't worried about Canadian border. But, you know, in Canada, they have our family up there, Lakotas, right above the border up there, having their own place. But our tribe don't even look out for them because they're Canadians. Their brains got Americanized. Because a Lakota lives on the other side of the border, or a Lipan Apache lives on the other side of the border, they're not our people. That's how the American wants you to think. So they got you like that. I just say, some people need to wake up and quit worrying about the little stuff. If you're worried about getting shipped back across the border, look for your relatives around there, wherever you're at. California, Texas, Georgia. Look for your relatives. Go help them instead of the Washichu, the Americans. Sometimes there's good people that will help you out and even defend you, you know, because you were good to them. If you're good to somebody, somebody might defend you. But the point what I'm saying is, if you knew who you were, if you acknowledge who you are, you could sit down on that ground right where you're at and tell them, I am home right here. This is my land. This is our people's land. This is where we are created. You know, it's like the ocean out there. Man, that ocean is wide open. No borders. Oh, they put a little 1 mile out in the, or 3 miles out is then it's international waters. But there's nothing out there. Them whales, they swim up and down all around. Them sharks, you know. The fish, the birds, they don't have no borders. But for some reason, the American is worried about borders. And so is any other, these governments worried about borders. We don't need to be worried about them. It's a good time for us to look for a way to get through all this. And the best way to do it is wake up. Don't get caught with your pants down. You never know what's going to happen. And that's why my mother said, when you leave the house, make sure you have clean underwear on. Because you don't know how the end of the day is. And at least you have clean underwear on. No matter how it ends. You know? So, we gotta be prepared. Me, I don't trust nothing. You know, I'm serious. The way this country set up, the laws and everything, even Trump said it. Everybody's a walking felony. Every one of us is a walking felony. A cop just has to decide what felony you're breaking. Trump said that. Everybody's a walking felony. I mean, not to get you paranoid, but what have you done in the last 20 years? Are you pure and clean for 20 years? How about 40 years? Man, look at Bill Cosby. They got his ass jacked up for stuff 40-something years ago. Can you imagine that? You know? I ain't going for that either. I mean, I'm sympathetic to women. But yet, I'm not sympathetic to somebody who was in the Bahamas, who flew all the way to Hollywood to go up in the hotel room a party with Bill Cosby, and she's a white girl. What the hell did she go there for? You know? I know what he was thinking. He's like any other man. Yeah, come to my apartment. I got champagne, cocaine, and everything. You know, and here they come. You know, if you tell people like that and they come, then that's on them, right? You know, nobody could be that dumb to think that there's nothing going to happen at the end of the day there. Hell, I'm a man. It wouldn't show up down Bill Cosby's house. Hell no. You know, or see anybody else's house that I don't know. I mean, maybe Roger. No, me and Roger had met and had dinner a few times and stuff, and you know, pretty good fun, you know. That's a good deal like that, you know. But, you know, I don't agree with all this 40 year later charging you with something. But what I'm saying is the Americans do that. They got a law called conspiracy. And conspiracy has no statute of limitations. The statute of limitations start when the crime is revealed. So say me and Tino stole a bike when he was 5 years old and I was 14. And now I'm 94 and he's 85. And we brag about stealing that bike. Okay, that's when the crime is unveiled. That's when the statute of limitations starts. You see, that's how it works. That's why there's no statute of limitations. So even if you smoked a joint with somebody and passed that joint to somebody else and sharing that joint, when you share a joint, guess what they call it? Distribution. Of course the cops ain't gonna get you for that, but they could. I know of them doing for pretty small reasons with little or no evidence just to destroy someone's reputation. 10 years later or something. You know? Like some guy gets mad. He finds out 10 years later that Joe Blow is with his wife. So he freaks out and nuts up on Joe Blow. And right away he goes and figures out how to plant something on Joe Blow or bring Joe Blow involved in some kind of a crime 10 years later. So that's how it works. And we got to be careful. And all these things that we do, that we work on, that we live for, are important. We have to stay alert and awake. And we have to have our rights taken care of. We have to know, you know, what can they do to you and what they can't do to you. Well, I'll tell you this, they can do anything they want to you. Okay? Anything they want, they can do to you. But are you going to let it happen? Are you going to try to defend yourself? Well, being an Indian man, I spent my whole life defending myself for one thing or another. For one thing or another, because there's liars out there, there's vindictive people, and the devil lives within them. And they're out to get you. People say, oh, that ain't true. You know? One time, I had a lady stalking me for like 20 years. You know, when I met her, we were doing a concert in Berlin. She couldn't even talk English. Had to have an interpreter there. She's a wicked, sour, scroungy woman named Evelyn Cervenkova. I don't care how I say her name. She is all pitiful, little bitty, ugly woman. Even had some kind of odor about her. I was kind of scooting away, you know. But she was making, she had this dream to make a Lakota German dictionary. So one of my relatives, well, I believe Monty, Rene Mills, he was our manager for the aerospace band. So he was in on the conversation too. And I left him with her. So that was it. Then I seen her a couple weeks later. I was leaving a concert and she was in the crowd and she tried to get my attention. But I was, you know, surrounded by people and we were leaving. So I just kind of gave her a wave and left. Then got back home and started getting mail from her. Now, how many of you answer every damn email you get? Well, can you imagine back then, 20 years ago in the 90s, there was no email. They were mailing letters actual mail. Go to the post office and get a letter, big old letter. How many of you got time to write letters back? Well, I gotta admit, you very rarely will get a letter back from me. Even on email, once in a while I'll jump back in, hello, how are you? And most of us, that's how we deal with each other. Hello, how are you? And blah, blah, blah. You know? But I wasn't writing this girl back, or lady, or whatever she was. Beast. And she started getting frustrated with me. And we were doing a concert, or raising money for this Porcupine ballpark, blah, blah. You know, the thing about music, when you have a little rock and roll band, you're always doing benefit concerts. Always doing benefit concerts. That's why I tell people, if you buy a CD from an Indian, you're probably paying for diabetes. You're probably paying for hunger. You're probably paying for the homeless. You're probably paying for AIDS, because these Indian bands are performing at all these benefit concerts for no money. And all they get is money from CDs. You know? So, anyway, so we're raising money for a Porcupine ballpark. And she caught wind of it way over there in Germany. Oh, I want to help, blah, blah, blah. I want to help you do the raise money for the Indians. Never did even write her back. Because time flies. Next thing you know, she started, I'm trying to help the Indians and he won't let me. And then she writes a letter. Her letters are turning to like hot. She said she had a dream. You know, me and her having all these babies and gray hair, and we were the leaders of the Lakota Nation. Can you imagine that? I said, man, this woman's sick. She's nuts. So never did write her back. Well, for 20 years, she's still on me doing this. For 20 years. And she opened up a website. She even has a picture of me and two band members. We had a band picture, just three of us. And she uses it on her website. And then she has an article just about me. How I'm a no good person. You know? And that's how it is. You can meet people like that real easy. People that just ain't going to leave you alone. Vindictive people. And I hope none of you meet someone like her. I ought to fix Roger up with her. You know? You know? I need, pass her someplace. Somebody got to make her happy. Oh, Roger said, thanks, bro. Yeah, don't go out for coffee with her, because some guy, I ain't the only one. She's stalking other guys. She ruined some other people's life. I mean, one guy actually took her out for coffee. Man, that was the end of his life there. She ruined him. You know, another guy, man, another guy had a English Lakota dictionary or something and a big website. And he was kind of living high on the, you know, had some prestige and stuff in this world until she came. She ruined his life. But nobody knows how to fight this people. All I can do is keep quiet and ignore her. Roger said, good one, bro. But, you know, Roger, you should call in sometimes and let's talk, you know. You know, you got 15 minutes. You know, 657-383-1271. You know, but just about some things, you know. I'm not to front you off or nothing, Roger. But, you know, conversations like you say, you know, you're not Washichu, but you're white, and you always have issues with your own people, and you always get along good with other cultures, and that's what people need to do. You're right, Donna. I never fed this wicked person, but she knows how to fast. You know, I never knew anybody as and plus she been to the nut house about 3 times. You can tell when she goes to the nut house. And her first attacks done on me were with the computers we donated to her. Renee Mills donated 3 computers to her because he thought she's pitiful. I mean, this person gives all the German women a bad name. You know? Anyway, 657-383-1271. You want to call in? Call in. You got probably 7-8 minutes. Because time is getting short. And I'm really sorry about the beginning of this great radio show. But, you know, what do they call it? The Peter Principle? Is that the Peter Principle? If something's going to go wrong, it will go wrong. And keep in mind the march that we're going to have. Who we got on this line, 757?
This is David Westmoreland out of Virginia Beach. Just calling to say hello, Wombly. And,
how you doing, David?
Doing well, my friend. I caught the program late, so I'll be having to check it in the archives. But I just wanted to say hello.
Well, thank you. Good to hear your voice. So,
yes, sir.
Did you hear anything? I know we got short of time, but, you know, I know everybody's, like, talking about Trump, and I gave my opinion of Trump. I said Trump was no different than any other of the Peckerwoods from the past. And even Obama did a cowardly thing to our people before he left. You know, he didn't. He waited till right before and to say he wouldn't cut loose Leonard and other things. But all the presidents, you know, they're all the same. So to me, Trump is just another face, another name of the American.
Correct. And when you spell American, you always have to remember small a, letter M, E R I K K K
K K
N. American with 3 K's. Drop that C and put a K. And Obama is, again, he was just one of the managers of, you know, being president of the United States. But, again, he wasn't going to do anything to, you know, change anything. And again, he would never got that far, you know, that close to power without providing he was going to change anything. So he's there for a reason and make brown people feel good. And then at the end of the day, you realize he hadn't done nothing for brown people. He was just a brown person with a white mind and white overseers, when you think about it.
Yep,
Donald Trump is just the epitome of white supremacy at this time. You know, he's not the first racist president, and obviously a motivator for all the racists that voted for him. And as we can see, you know, he's some of his supporters are, you know, destroying Jewish cemeteries and bomb threats, and you know, people in Walmarts across the country experiencing things, let alone anywhere else. Children in public schools telling their classmates that you're going to get deported, your parents are going to get deported, while teachers stand there and say nothing to stop the children. So, you know, it's always been there. It's just the scab's been removed, and now we get to see it, you know, in our own lifetime.
You know what gets me about that, David? Those people, those, you know, the ones he's talking about, they're indigenous people. They're just like us up here. The only thing is they're trapped down there. And
yep.
And I was saying in the beginning, if those people would acknowledge their indigenous heritage rather than admitting that they're nobodies, they'd have a chance. They could sit down on the ground right here, right there, hang out with the rest of the indigenous and sit down and say, we're not moving, this is my land, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't do that. So they're 100 million people that ain't helping us, but they should be. They're the same color, you know? So there's a few millions of us, and you know? And then just like your people, David, you know, we always talk about this.
Hasapa.
It's the same, yeah, the Hasapa, the same thing with us. You know, we got 5 million enrolled members of Indians. That's all on the census, United States census. And half of our people ain't even with it.
Yep.
So that's only 2.5 million that have any tribal values, you see.
And that's that divide and conquer. Because
yeah.
what you're saying is, like, within the black community, Hasapa community, you know, they say roughly there's 40 to 45 million black people in America. And most black people are, you know, not with it, not aware, not awake. So, you know, they either believe in Jesus Christ, a white Jesus, something that the slave master gave them as a weapon to fight against the pain and suffering of being slaves and the pain and suffering of dealing with white supremacy today, you know. And
that's it.
We fight each other instead of fighting the real enemy, which is white supremacy.
That's why I feel bad when I see Roger Mayweather. You know, here's a boxer came out of Michigan, you know, and lived dirt poor. His dad was a ex-felon and everything. Now this guy's got millions, and he's talking about Jesus Christ and stuff now, you know.
Yep.
And then throwing his money away and not helping society, not even helping his own people in Michigan.
And I always think of Oprah Winfrey, same way. She's, you know, documented as a billionaire. And, you know, she has to go all the way to the continent of Africa to build schools where she lives in this, you know, state of Illinois, where there's failing schools right there in the city of Chicago where her TV show used to be, you know, aired. So why do you have to go all the way to Africa when you got problems right there in the city that you're doing your TV show? And I think, I have no evidence of this, but I think it's like, you know, those who are above her say, hey, you can build schools all you want. Just make sure you don't do it here to improve the quality of life of black people or people of color in America. You want to go to a distant land, you know, the continent of Africa, so be it. And it's kind of like all the other celebrities who are not anywhere near more other celebrities who are not as aware of white supremacy, you know, they spend money on a lot of things, but they have no concept or understanding of white supremacy. So they either will support white supremacy by saying, hey, you know, all cops aren't bad, or the fact is I'm going to stand for the national anthem or whatever the case may be. And if anything, you notice that they're sitting there defending white supremacy, which is the same ones who are writing their paychecks, than actually saying, hey, you know, we need to do something to end white supremacy. So.
You know, and there's enough of our people, of all, you know, the people of color, to actually make a change. But
yep.
The ones that, but we're divided half of that. So the other half that's against us are over there with the Washitu, the American, and they compound the violence against us. They compound the menace to us. You know what I mean? So
yep.
So the other half of us that's trying to hang on to our normal way of life, we go through a struggle because the half of us is over there with all of them.
Correct.
You know?
And, you know, a lot of people, and that's that what they call in psychology Stockholm Syndrome, you know, people side with the group that's in power. So you have black people, Hispanic people, Native people, all siding with the side that has the, you know, the power, which are the white people. And, you know, the thing is, you know, divide and conquer is a very powerful weapon, and, you know, the Washishu have figured out, hey, you know, we're less than 10% of the world population. If the country, if the planet has 7+ billion people, and white people are less than 10% of that, that's roughly 700 million white people around the planet. From white people in America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Europe, Eastern and Western Europe, it's only 700 million of them, and out of 7 billion people, and they figured out how to get us to fight each other. You know, get U.S. service members, or black people and brown people and yellow people to join the U.S. military and go kill and fight other people around the planet, and then, you know, be it the excuses they're communists nowadays. It's they're you know, Islamic terrorists, whatever the case may be. They always find an excuse for us to go kill someone around the planet who's not white. And again, if you think about America, the last time they've killed white people is, what, World War II. And ever since then, even during the Cold War, communism, they were killing brown people either in Central and South America or in Africa, you know, or Vietnam because of communism. And again, they've figured out how to get us to help them kill other non-white people around the planet. So they are the masters of deception and distraction and trickology.
You know, I was talking to a Chinese guy, and the Chinese guy is some kind of diplomat. I met him overseas. I said, hey, you know, you guys got a big old country, man, millions of you, and you got money and everything. Would you ever try to take over America and conquer America or conquer another country like Britain or Europe? And he said, you know what? Never would happen. I said, why? He said, because if we did that, we would end up having to mix blood with them. And we don't want to mix blood with them. So we're happy where we're at. We're just going to defend ourselves from them and try and control everything from our point of view, you know. And when he said that, I was really thinking about it. You know, that's the same thing happens to us. If we want to be satisfied, we have to be satisfied in our own little society. Because if we go out and try to conquer another society, then we got to mix blood. And if we mix blood, we're so small, we'll lose our blood. But the Chinese, look how millions of them, and they don't want to lose their blood. And I noticed it. I was in the Chinese restaurants, man. I mean, that's Chinese man, Chinese woman, and they're speaking Chinese, you know?
Yep. You don't see non-Chinese people working in a Chinese restaurant. That's correct. You know, it's a family business, and if they're not biological family, there's another person from their country that's working there. You know, they haven't been raised in the U.S., so they're, you know, for the most part, again, they're speaking with a Chinese, they're speaking Chinese, they're speaking with a Chinese accent when they speak English, so, you know, they don't have the misinformation that we have received growing up in America, you know, so they're not as mentally confused as we are.
They still carry their own logic. Hey, David, but, you know, we got to run right now, and I'm really happy you dropped in. I missed you, you know, and it's good that you stopped in and come anytime, you know.
Yes, sir.
Welcome. And thank you very much, David. And thank the rest of you out there in the chat. And I'm sorry we started out on a little bumpy road. And you take care. Everything's cool. Lila Wopi La Tanka, you know. Tokshake.